Ladies and gentlemen, we have the finale of The Strange Night, and I wrote a poem for a character that I feel we need to have written a poem for. Z, for Zilch, the amount he's done for humanity. A, for what an asshole this character is. C, for a word that I can't really say on air. And H, for the eternal hatred I have for this character. Of course, we're talking about Zach, the biggest piece of crap to ever walk across the silver screen. We are discussing Season 3, Episode 10, The Fall.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
I hate Zach. I hate him.
We hate Zach.
You knew that when we haven't been annoyed by him for two episodes, he would come back more annoying than ever.
Came back
doing stuff that pisses us off more than anything ever.
Puberty sucks.
Zach.
I'm sorry, when I went through puberty, I didn't do this shit.
We hate you, Zach.
We hate you.
So much.
Die, Zach.
I really want to find a song, write a parody, and maybe put it on YouTube of, like, My American Pie, like, just with Zach.
How much
we hate him.
Punt him through the uprights. And then catch him, and then spike him into the ground.
When Quinlan took that Navy SEAL Strigoi and put his head across the thing and ripped his head off?
Yes.
Can we please do that to Zach?
You want that
please.
To happen to Zach?
You know, Walking Dead did, like, they filmed, like, various deaths of characters for last episode, just so nobody knew who they were. Can we just get Zach beaten to death by Negan's baseball bat, please?
Oh. Can we get Bane from the comics to break Zach's back?
Please? Can he be flayed alive and boiled?
Please.
In oil.
Can we just put him in the coffin and just dump him in the river?
How about they dump Zach in the river?
Can we burn him at the stake?
I want this character to die.
So bad.
More than I've ever wanted any character to ever die. And I've watched all of Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Puberty is a hell of a phase.
Zach is the poster child of beating your kids. You have to beat your kids so they do not kill humanity.
I wish Joe Jackson was his dad.
Oh my god. Damn.
Because you know Joe Jackson wouldn't have stood for that.
Joe Jackson would have beat
him. He would have beat his ass.
Very well. Zach would have been in line. He would have never stepped out of line. Because he.
I wish Zach was brought up by Chris Benoit.
Oh.
Too soon?
No, not really.
Just
but it's,
really
it
poor
stings.
Taste.
Oh, it stings.
I wish Zach was one of Michael Vick's dogs.
Oh,
damn.
Man.
You got one?
I wish Zach lived on the same block with Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh.
I wish Zach went to Catholic school in the 80s.
Oh.
Oh, you guys are just getting too low and dark now.
Yeah.
I think we should put the brakes on
this. Okay, let's stop and cut the music. God damn this character! Oh
man.
My god! Like, I didn't know we could be so pissed off at a character, but it's not even pissed off, it's just utter disappointment and being like, are you freaking serious right now?
Zach,
yeah.
I don't know if the writers are bad or if the writers are extremely good at getting an emotional response from me.
I think they're extremely good at getting an
I think
emotional response.
They're like,
response.
We know how to make everybody hate one person.
Oh my god!
Zach,
I am baffled.
Because they make him make the evil faces, but then he doesn't have the evil attitude. Like, he's like, oh, mom, did I do well? I don't know if I did the right thing. But then he's like... he's like creeping in behind you.
He's
like
evil. Like Donald Trump sneaking up behind Hillary at the debate.
All right, yeah, let's avoid politics, but... Like, it went from, like, good old Ben Hyland to, like, Milk and Cookies with Satrakian, where it's like Satrakian is teaching
yep.
him all this stuff. He's experiencing all these people being
and
murdered in front of him. Yeah.
Where is he at? What is he doing? Why can't he not be
yeah.
on the show?
And it turned into bully-looking Zach. I forgot what the actor's name was, but, like, I'll look it up in a second. But
his
it went to that,
Zach.
Who's completely not based in reality, who now has Mr. Nazi Uncle and Stinger for a Mouth Mom.
But I'm glad the way she went out. I'm glad. And I'm glad it was right in his face.
Like, this was Anakin Skywalker moment.
But it was
I hate you!
Yeah. But
it's the hormones.
As much as I don't like the character development of Anakin in the prequels, I will say that this is worse than that. Like, Anakin changed in like one movie from good to bad, but Zach changed in like one episode.
No, he was headed that way. Because, like, he had this strong emotional attachment to his mom this whole time.
Oh, please.
You know, yeah, he did. I mean, that's why he's like, that's why he pushed the button, because he just witnessed his mom get murdered again.
Thank you. She's not real. She wasn't alive in the first place.
Yeah.
She was just wearing makeup, man.
But his heart didn't doesn't you hear understand her
doing
that.
The little crickly sound, like,
his heart, right? His all heart the time. Doesn't understand.
She's not
that.
Real.
But, like, at that moment, he's got to know that that bomb could kill everyone in that building.
Yes.
Like, he was like, I'm going to kill my dad. Hey, yeah. Dad, haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, he wasn't thinking about anybody but himself.
The problem is, I understand that he loves his mom, but would he not have at least
a modicum of sense for his dad?
Yeah, at least 50% of that same amount of emotion for his father? Like, maybe being mad at him, but I won't blow up the whole city.
Well, clearly there was baggage here. I mean, F's a drunk, and Zach probably has seen him at his worst time being a worse dad. So maybe all that clouded his, emotion for him, you know?
I wonder what the trend in television nowadays is, that all these writers just want you to hate children.
Yeah.
I mean, it started with King Joffrey. It went from there in various other television shows. But damn, like, it's not that Zach is, like, doing evil stuff. It's just that he's so hateable because he's just such a piece of crap.
And to big shout out to Semper Fi Comic Guy, he said he can't die slow enough, which is very true. Very true.
We had someone in the chat who has been consistently on our after show, like in the chat and in the comments, defending Zach. He's like, he'll live up to something. He'll be cool.
It's going to pay off, I promise.
He's going to pay off, I promise. Like, it's like that person who's like, has a cousin or a nephew, and they're like, you know, he's going through those rebellious years right now, but one day he'll be something. And then he's like dying of like crack overdose, like after murdering somebody. He's like, I'm sorry, guys, I was wrong. It's like, no.
It's like, he'll turn around. It's like, you know, it's like that person where it's like, oh, he'll turn around in high school. He's in and out, you know, suspension, detention. He'll turn around. Then he's an adult, in and out of jail. He'll turn around. He's not going to turn around.
Yeah, Zach's in his Bieber phase. If Bieber had, like, the detonator.
Yeah, but you know what?
Zach is the Justin Bieber of kid characters.
Like, I'm not even going to say that. Because you know what? At least Justin Bieber contributed something, right? Like, at least he made music that people like.
Yeah,
I'm assuming.
Yeah, you can dance every now and then.
Like, even he, when he turned into an asshole when he was an adult, he actually started making music that wasn't intolerable. Zach has not done anything to contribute to anything.
You know what? Zach hasn't done anything for the group at all, now that I think about it.
He hasn't. He got Nora killed.
Has he killed at least one Strigoi? He hasn't even killed a Strigoi. No.
He hasn't done crap. He's done nothing except just always screw over humanity.
He is the catalyst for misery on this show.
Like, imagine living in this world of The Strain and watching The Strain and seeing all this stuff going down. You're like, wait, that's what happened in New York?
Yeah, like say somebody does a documentary after, like, say Humanity Wins. We're kind of back. We're kind of rebuilding. It's about 10 years later, and you're like, man, it was so tough. You know, I had to scrounge for, like, you know, cat meat or something, and we finally got away. And then you look back and you're like, hold up, so some douchey kid that did all this?
Right.
Like, one douchey kid messed this all up?
Like, I would have rather Zach get pushed out of the side by Tom Hanks. Hitting the switch and going, any questions? That would have been better for me. I would have been like, okay, at least Zach didn't do it. David S. Pumpkins did it. But Zach is the one who did it. So I'm just kind of, I'm so baffled, because I told you, 10 minutes before the end, I looked at these guys and I was like, guys, I paused it. And I was like, guys, I swear to God, if they're bringing the box out and run into Zach and Nora, or Zach and Kelly on the way out, and Zach opens the box, I'm done.
He did worse. He did worse.
He did worse.
Inadvertently, Zach does open the box.
He destroyed all of New York City, and let's say
New Jersey,
and maybe a
all
touch
five
of
boroughs.
Yeah, all five boroughs.
The entire are gone. East Coast, probably.
Well, yeah, because I forgot. You know, DC and Atlanta have their issues, so. You know, the sun is blacked out. So, I need a satisfying death of a child, and I feel bad about that. But I need a satisfying death of a child. Like, he needs to be, like, gurgling blood and stuff. And then, like, two more bullets in him. And then, like, before he dies.
Double tap.
Like, yeah, like, two more bullets. And he's like, and then, like, slice him in half or something like that. Like,
I mean, okay, so let's put it in real perspective. The whole journey of this show is Ephraim. Ephraim is the main character. Mm-hmm. He is the journey. And mm-hmm. to really join this character in his journey, it makes sense that he would be the one to kill Kelly. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's going to make sense that he's going to be the one to kill Zach.
Yes.
Because that's a tragedy of this character and yeah. how he is sacrificing everything to save the world. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure the finale of next season, I swear to God, it's going to be Ephraim killing Zach in some slow motion way that you're like, ah! But everyone's just going
to
be like, yes!
You were supposed to be the chosen one.
You were the chosen one! You killed younglings!
You know what? I'm not entirely positive or confident that that's going to happen, because there's another show, which I can't mention because you haven't caught up on it yet, where I was hoping the dad would kill the son because it was justified and would be so poetic, but it didn't happen that way.
Yeah, but...
Well, he'll be a little bit older, so it won't really be like a kid death. It'll be like a teenager death. You can do that.
I mean... It all depends on how far they jump forward. Whether they're going to step off right now or they're going to step off like it's going to be like Road Warrior status where everyone's Ooh. Wearing like put together stuff to battle the Strigoi underground and it's just bands of New Yorkers like Metro. Kind of like the
that could be cool.
game Metro.
Or like Mad Max
like jump forward, like jump forward like say 3 months or so, something like that?
Something
or
like that.
Even
yeah.
longer.
3 months, yeah.
Okay.
Ish. Maybe even a month.
That could be cool.
It probably only needs 2 or 3 weeks, honestly.
Yeah, because the way they were storming the streets, it was like Strigoi 1999 in there or something.
It was like I Am Legend.
Oh, good.
Very similar to I Am Legend.
Very nice.
Okay, so we're like what? We're 10 minutes in, haven't stopped ragging on Zach, because he sucks!
Zach messed up this whole episode for everybody. We apologize.
All right, let's go to the wide. Let's go to the wide real quick. This is for you, Zach.
Oh, wow.
Come on, Stacey. Get with it, Stacey.
He's a kid.
Stacey, get with it.
He's a kid.
Get with it.
He's a kid.
Get with it.
Oh, no.
Okay. Okay. We'll do that. Okay. We'll do that. Zach, that's for you. All right. Let's talk about characters. All right. So let's talk about Fett up first, because we have Fett and Dutch getting some character development. We have Fett and Ephraim getting some weird things. Like, okay, so now we finally know that Fett knows that he was sleeping with...
I knew he knew for a while.
So at least now his anger towards Ephraim makes a little bit more sense. But I'm still kind of like, dude, just let it go. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Your uncle killed Jews in the Holocaust, all right? That's the conversation ender. It's like Ephraim can walk in, you can call him a traitor, but you can be like, dude, your uncle killed Jews in the Holocaust.
Yep.
I mean, he can't really fight back that. It's like, collaborator, suck it. So they're continuing with this, and then Ephraim is just... Or Fett's continually being a dick to Ephraim. And then we have the elevator scene with him and Dutch where he's like, I just wish it would have ended better between us. And she's like, yeah, me too. And then that's all we get.
Yeah, a little closure at least. At least it was, you know, it was acknowledged and they moved on, which led you
Hopefully
to think that one of them
on.
Was going to die.
I really thought Dutch was dead. I so
yeah,
thought she
yeah,
was going to die
did.
this episode. I even thought she would have died at the end when the nuke went off or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I was thinking that it was going to be her and Ikor that were kind of like, they were going to resolve their little... issue with maybe like killing each other. Or she was going to finally strike him down or something. But then he went off in the river or whatever. But Fett, it hurts because he's such a cool character, and then for him to turn around and be like so self righteous and so
yeah, like, it's just because weird. Like and at least they called it out. They said like when'd you start having morals?
Yeah,
because it was weird.
Yeah, it did come out of nowhere. It seemed like hold up, like you can't. Let this go. And then even when they went to the back of the truck when they were loading up, I thought they were going to, like, squash it. He was going to be like, hey, F, you know what? Look, it is what it is.
But it's over a
you know,
woman,
we're cool.
though. It's over a woman, so there's emotions
Well,
evolved,
now it
you know?
Makes sense because he knows that they were sleeping together. But it's like, dude, you slept with Officer Steve Rogers.
That's true. Yeah.
That's
you
true.
Know, you slept like, with Captain America.
Deal with it.
Yeah, you didn't see her crying, so I mean.
And Fett can't die. People in chat are saying, I thought Fett would die. It's like plot armor. All the way. Like, Fett
has been around so many worms and just, like, walked away.
He's bounced
like,
off him.
Maybe he has, like, Scotch Guard or something where, like, they're just sliding off of his clothing or something.
I'm really disappointed we did not see Gus this episode. His storyline literally went absolutely nowhere this season.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely nowhere.
Yeah,
it started.
You're right.
It's.
I forgot
him,
about him.
Him and Gus started with the mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Intertwined with the cops, killed the mother,
mm-hmm.
killed all the cops, and then Gus is back on his own. So literally, nothing Gus's storyline did not help anyone at all this entire season. He helped Fett when he put off the bomb, but the bomb didn't do anything, we found out.
Nothing at all. It hurt the Strigoi that the Master wanted them to hurt.
Yeah. So Gus's storyline, honestly, like, we could have done this whole season without Gus even involved. I mean, it was time filler.
Maybe he... You could say he helped Tracy Perez's character and the other lady get away from the chain gang cops, but, I mean, that's minor.
But the cops are gone, so it doesn't even matter.
So it's minor compared to what we expected to see from him, especially when he was with Vaughn and, you know, training up and he was getting good at, like, fighting the, you know, struggle. I thought I was going to see, you know, a guy that was, like, maybe teamed up with Fett and them two kind of, like, you know, clearing, you know, buildings and fighting Strigoi back to back and blood and bones, and we didn't get that.
Real quick, to take a break from our hatred of Zach for a second, if you want to tweet us throughout the show, you can tweet at me at Stephen Lemieux, STPHENLEMIEUX. Of course, follow us and talk to us about the finale, even if you're watching this after we've aired, because, I mean, this is the finale. You're not going to get another chance until next season.
So we'll be talking about it.
Where can we find you, Stacey?
Oh, you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheStaceyNewsome. That's STACEY Newsome.
And you can find me at Instagram and Twitter on One Youngster, which is ONEYOUNGSTA.
And I got to give a shout out to Charles Sherman, who does the PR for a ton of places. Every time he comes into the studio, he's talking to me about The Strain, loves the show, and then... Xbox, Sean Walton, the wrestler, also is a big fan of The Strain. Can't wait to talk to him about my hatred of Zach after this. So that's going to be fun. All right, so Fett and Dutch, I mean, yeah, they had their thing. So let's talk about this whole plan, like the great big plan of the Master, right?
Yeah.
So the first thing we see is Eldridge Palmer and Satrakian meeting under the awkward bridge. Mm-hmm. There was awkward window in another show, now it's awkward bridge, and they meet under it. And Palmer's like, I've officially left the Master's retainer.
He felt good about it. You know, he felt
I'm quite chipper. Like, I pumped him full of silver. Is he dead? Well, no, but he's not a problem anymore.
Whenever you say that, you know it's a problem again.
I'm so chipper. So the plan is they're going to put, I have the bomb. Ooh, it really felt like old-timey villain, like, we're going to trap him.
But it felt good because I was talking with you guys, like, you know, it felt kind of like grumpy old men, but just like no jokes. Right. Because I'm like, the two old guys getting together, they're going to get the Master. Oh, yeah.
The sequel to 12 Angry Men. Two Angry Men under a bridge.
But at the beginning of the episode, I'm sure you guys would agree with me. Satrakian in the hat, he was looking smooth. He was looking quite dapper.
There were some pretty fly hats in this episode. There were two fly hats. It was his hat and
Ikor's hat.
Ikor's hat.
Yeah, right?
That was some fly lids in this episode.
Some fly lids. So they meet. They come up with a plan. They're going to use the device in the floor above Eldridge Palmer.
Yes.
Penthouse suite. The Palmer
the
penthouse suite.
Security room.
And activate the device while Eldridge is creating a meeting with the Master, and then lock the Master in the box. Little do they know that his whole security team gets wiped out by the Master just doing that high-pitched thing.
Quickly.
Wiping out all these new characters, like the new head of security that we got rid of quite immediately.
He got a couple of episodes in, so, you know, I mean, hey.
Yeah, so
he got a longer run than he would have on The Walking Dead.
He was more likable than Zach, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I like the security guy more than Zach. Why? Because he did things.
Yeah.
They went to get the bomb. He cleared the room. He shot the guy. He picked up the thing. Like, Zach did not. How does this go back to hating Zach?
Well, because Zach was the protected the whole time. He was the one that needed to be protected.
No.
And
please.
He was. Like, you know, that's why he had his little pet girl thingy, cat, mouse thingy.
Vampire dog.
Right? So, we find out at this point that the Master was one of the Navy SEALs. Which means that he probably jumped into the body, like the Red Worm, like right after that moment.
Probably so.
Like probably one of those Navy SEALs who was like half dead there. The Master jumped into his body, took him over, and ran away.
Which was a good point.
Yeah.
And it would help him hide himself a lot easier. Because they probably just thought, oh, well, he's just one of the normal Strigoi.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It allowed him to kind of be kind of like the, I guess, unseen, but still kind of like survey not only Strigoi movements, but also like normal people.
I mean, it'd be really interesting to think if like the Master was thinking 10 steps ahead of him at that point and had placed the Navy SEAL under the bridge, like, in the sewers, just in case something went wrong, he could escape into it. I mean, okay. It'd be interesting to think of. And then the Navy SEALs also go and pick up Eichhorst, who's profusely bleeding on the sidewalk next to some humans who are about to chop his head off. And
yes.
Knocks them out.
I was like, man. But I guess that wouldn't be a great end for him.
No, it wouldn't.
But it would be a...
It'd be kind of more funny, of a real life end,
but it wouldn't be a great... We wouldn't feel, you know, satisfied with him dying by just two normal people like, hey, is this his Dragoy? Ew, kill it.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be kind of interesting, though, if they did that, because they end the last episode with showing him kind of getting away, and then this episode starts with him just getting his head cut off like a punk. Like, that would have been actually kind of interesting. I think it would have... it would have shown the writers are taking chances.
Yeah.
But... I don't dislike what they did with the character, so Eichhorst, of course, is working with Kelly Goodweather and Zach, and we get this really weird family reunion thing going on, where he's like, Zach, would you like to see this bomb?
He's like, ooh, what's that?
And they give the kid the detonator.
Yeah.
It's his arms now.
All right.
Here's the detonator.
Didn't you feel like in that moment, okay, maybe Zach's going to be the one that becomes active and causes all of destruction here? Like,
yeah, I mean, everyone kind of was thinking at this point he's going to be the one set the nuke off, but damn.
But not like that.
Yeah. Not like that. Not like straight up Anakin, I hate you!
And I'm not saying that I'm like, you know, Dr. Phil or anything. I don't know. You know, I'm not the master of raising children, but a child of that
the
age.
The master?
Yeah. At raising children. But you don't give someone that young a detonator for a nuclear weapon. I think you should at least be 21.
Okay, what you're talking about...
I mean, he's more mature than Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. Well, you're talking what humans shouldn't do. We're not talking about humans here. We're talking about Strigoi.
Yeah, but even Strigoi should be like, hey, grow up a little bit. You know, live a little life.
First, they give him the pet, which some guy's like, I got a son just like you. Which we didn't need this scene, really.
Well, I think
I mean, it brought him closer into the family of Kelly and Eichhorst, showing that he would kill humans to protect himself and protect her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just another move in the show that I'm just like, damn, what a dick.
Yeah.
Like, he kills a guy trying to help him because the guy's going to shoot at his pet that all he's really doing is playing fetch with.
So at that point, though, it's like, I would think Zach would be, like, looking for every opportunity to escape. But it doesn't seem like he was.
Right? Like,
you know, it's like, oh... Here's my chance. Yes, please help me. Help me. But no, he's
got his mama.
He's got his mom. Yeah. He's got his pet girl.
And he didn't even tell the guy to run or leave or anything. He was just like standing there looking at him while the guy was like, where are your parents?
I feel like this after show is a little all over the place today, but it's kind of like everything's molding into each other.
Yeah, it's like, because... It's because Zach.
Yeah.
Zach was gone for 2 or 3 weeks, and we were all happy. Everybody was happy. And he came back, and this is what happened.
Suddenly New York goes up in flames.
Well, the funny thing is, we've been complaining about how passive he's been. He hasn't done anything, and then when he does something, it pisses everybody off.
Because he did it the wrong way.
That's the worst. Oh, man. So, meanwhile, we have Desai, who Eichhorst is talking to put the bomb in a place.
Yeah.
And that's happening, and then we don't see him at all again until the bomb's going off in the end. The plan works, which is actually just like season one, where, like, they get him out in the sunlight, everything's about to come up Milhouse, and then it goes down and doesn't come up Milhouse, where the Zach, of course, sets the bomb off after Ephraim and Kelly have a couple's quarrel, and he puts a knife into her chin.
Yeah, there was a couple's quarrel over.
I didn't think they'd kill off Kelly, but they did kill Kelly.
I was glad that they killed Kelly, though.
I'm
glad that, you know, the bad guys needed to lose something this episode.
But I think it was kind of... It only went more towards manipulating Zach to be towards them.
True. Yeah, I guess.
So we have a half-nuked Eldritch Palmer master out there somewhere who's probably going to take Zach as his next body.
Yeah.
I was surprised they didn't show that at the end of the episode. I thought for sure.
I was expecting that.
I thought for sure we were going to get a stinger that had, like, Zach going into the master and the master throwing up on him. Or something happening where Gus walks into an area and the Ancients are back. Like, I would have liked that. At least we would have gotten Gus in the finale. Mm-hmm. That's what I was really hoping for, was Gus meeting the Ancients at the end of the season.
That would have been a cool double stinger. Hashtag Marvel. But that would have been cool. You would have got Zach becoming the master, and people would have been like, and then you would have had, you know, Gus walking in to meet the Ancients again, and people would be like,
But you know what?
Next season.
Well, the problem, the reason that didn't happen is because everybody was like kind of expecting it to happen. So they like just, they just gave us something we weren't expecting at all.
And then the bomb looked pretty similar, but apparently it has like 10 or 20 times the force of the previous bomb. Because the previous bomb wiped out a city block and everyone was like, oh, what was that? Oh, must have been an earthquake. We're good. Yeah. And this bomb, Statue of Liberty is gone.
The mushroom cloud, you know, everything's blown away. Glass is busted for like 20 blocks. Mm-hmm. And because the Statue of Liberty, like, you know, contrary to popular belief, it's actually kind of far off the coast. Mm-hmm. You know, you gotta, it's
you have to take a ferry.
It's a 45-minute ferry ride or something. It's kind of far. So it not only blew up there, but it blew past that and then blew off, like, the glass from, like, 20 other blocks. So that was a serious bomb. So I guess they got, like, nuke light and then like real nuke.
Yeah. When they, like, that was a nuclear tsunami there.
They had Shasta nuke and they had Coke nuke. I don't like the fact that the glass broke.
Why?
Because they just feel like it's Stoneheart's building. It's Eldridge Palmer's building. I feel like he'd have bulletproof glass of the highest degree covering his entire building.
Well, he probably wasn't thinking, oh, I got to make this nuclear proof.
No, but I mean, regardless, I feel like that floor at least would have been completely...
Good point.
Because he knows that they're taking down the world. He's seeing New York just going up in flames and stuff. I thought that building would be completely, like, wall-to-wall armored and bulletproof kind of thing. So I was surprised the glass... broke. I would have liked it more if Ephraim was just standing there as the thing approached and just hit them.
Oh, and just watching him hit the glass and everything.
Yeah, like, because it kind of took away the impact of him seeing the city go up in flames, like, because he gets knocked over while other things are falling. I don't know. Somebody said hide in a refrigerator.
that could work.
Hashtag Crystal Skull.
I want to know everything. Oh, please.
God, right? Oh, wow, I just realized that light's off, and I actually don't think it looks that bad. We might want to just keep that light off. Okay, cool. So, sorry, production stuff. Let's see, where do you want to go from here? Let's talk from about, I mean, Quinlan was a badass completely.
Yeah.
He's the one who goes in, looks for remnants of the Master, and finds the parking garage where everyone's dead.
Yep.
Puts two and two together. Kills that Navy SEAL in a really horrific way, which was pretty awesome.
I was like, yes, that's the stuff that I want to see. Like, that type of stuff with, like, Fett and Gus and Quinlan just beating up Strigoi all the time.
Girl talk, he gets sexier every episode to me.
For Quinlan.
Because he's so, like... style
555.
He gets it done. Because he gets it done.
Somebody in chat said, do you realize how powerful a nuke is? All right, there's very different sizes of nukes, okay? You can have a tactical nuclear device that literally takes out the size of a small building. Like, you can have something as large or as small as you need. So the last one took out a city block. This one apparently is big enough to take out larger than one city block.
Yeah.
So there are different sizes. There's different megaton sizes of a nuke. Russia just created a nuke that can wipe out something the size of France, which is great for our country's safety. Gotta love that.
Woohoo. But I did, did you guys want to talk about when they actually finally got him
in the box? Yeah, so that's what we're getting to. Paused. So quit, like, it was great, because you get the build up as him as Eldridge Palmer.
Yeah.
And Satrakian's like, something's off.
Yeah. So, like, he's not acting right.
Yeah, he was, like, too, like, I don't know, he was just, like, a little off.
I've known this guy for 60 years, something's kind of off with him, and then he's not, like, talking too much when I'm mentioning the heart.
Yeah.
And he's saying, how long was it ago? And then he's talking about Ephraim, and Ephraim's like, I don't really know you, dude. And then, aside from when he tried to kill him with the sniper rifle back in season two.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever met, really, have they? I don't think they ever met. So for him to be addressing him like that, that's why Ephraim was looking at him like,
And then he talks about
Zach. You
don't
know me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your child has the... Heart of Darkness. What are you talking about, old guy?
Cue the song, Heart of Darkness. No, but,
right?
But
Don't ever say my son's name. I hate you!
I do like how Satrakian didn't waste time, though. Yeah. Once he was like, get away. He pulled out his sword immediately. He didn't, like, waste a lot of time. Like, who are you?
Ephraim shoots a bunch of bullets.
Yeah.
And then you're like, get him in the box. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, come on, Fett, throw him in the box. And then Quinlan opens the elevator and you're like... Yes!
Yeah.
Badass! And he's just beating the crap out of him face to face, like father son violence, the kind we always love.
Yes.
It was like some like open handed smacks too going on. I'm like, that's pretty much.
And for a split second there, I was like thinking, like, is he gonna try to kill him and not put him in the box?
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know he wanted to.
Yeah.
You know
because he grabbed him one time and he's like, oh, I wanna kill you, but I gotta put you in the box. Then when they did and they shut it and they were like standing there, I was like, you know what? It's kind of like when you plan something and you're like, this will never work. And then it works. It's like, whoa, hold on. We just did it.
I was just watching. I was watching the show.
We did it.
And they closed the box, but it had latches on it. And I'm just sitting there watching the latch the box closed. Latch it closed. I don't want this bull crap where he just shoves it open and he's fine again.
Because back in the day, didn't he put chains around the box?
Yeah, and there was like chains and everything.
So
like,
if they had done that this time, maybe the box would have survived the new
one.
Yeah. See, chain it. I would have did like, I don't know, like some laser thing to like
weld it shut.
Yeah, weld it shut. And like, or like dump cement around it.
Well, it's like the nuke goes off and they just leave the box out in the open. I'm like, come on, grab it. Take the, like, you don't want him getting out. Like, what did you do all this for?
But I will say they did kind of make haste to the river to try to like, at least try to take him out. But then the bomb goes off and of course everybody tumbles a little bit and the master gets away.
Everybody walked the dinosaur.
Wait. How are the three of them safe just hiding behind that concrete pillar?
So there's, you know, different parts. There's different parts of a nuclear device, right? So when the bomb goes off, it sends out a shockwave.
Mm-hmm.
And the shockwave is usually what destroys buildings and destroys all the stuff. And then the next wave is radiation. So, like, it's not exactly, like, it doesn't really incinerate people who are far away from it. The shockwave is what causes the most, like, physical destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And then the radiation kills everybody. But if you're right by it, yeah, you get incinerated because the force of the blast. But that's why they were fine behind that. At least it was more believable because it was on the Statue of Liberty Island as opposed to, like, within New York. Because it had some time to travel and the water could have dissipated it some. Yeah. So that was at least more believable than getting in a fridge and blowing up, right? But still, like,
he just walked out of that fridge too, man. Oh.
I like how terrible, like, it just has Quinlan like flown away into a statue.
He slapped it like extremely hard, and then he just like gets up like ah.
I feel like I worked out too hard at the gym. Oh, yeah, it's like
a little crick in my neck, but I'm okay.
Forgot to skip Nuke Day.
Yeah. So it was actually kind of cool seeing. Well, I guess seeing the bomb go off because we knew it had to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, we see the team is not done with their job yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I am very... It was cool to see the city finally get overrun, truly overrun. Even though I know that's bad for humans, but it's good for TV.
I know, Ephraim's like, Zack! And then, like, all the Strigoi come out as the sun, looking like the Master's eyeball is eclipsed by the clouds.
That was kind of cool effect.
The occultation that was read about in the... Lumen. Real quick, let's break down that scene because we have still a lot of time. We've kind of covered the episode. Let's break that scene with Ephraim and Zack down. So Kelly jumps out, and Kelly loses the voice of the Master at the same time Ikoros does, and they put him in the box. And Kelly's like about to eat Zack, and Zack brings her back to her senses. I wish kind of at this point that she just ate him in that room. Would have been hilarious. Did it for the lulz. Great.
That was interesting because that shows she's still human enough to, like, you know, realize, okay, this is my son. I'm not going to, like, drink him.
Well, I don't know. Do you think it was because it was her son, or do you think it was because she was still kind of had the orders from the Master not to hurt him, and that was holding her back?
Yeah, I think that was the last little bit of the, like, you know, she wasn't hearing anything from the Master, but the last thing she heard from the Master was, you know, protect Zack, keep Zack safe, or whatever he tells him, you know, so they don't kill him.
Mm. So she goes up. And immediately she runs at Ephraim and starts attacking him. And Zack's like, no! Stop! No! He's like thinking his parents are just going to sit down and have a normal conversation.
Right.
And Ephraim's kind of a badass with that knife going Rambo style. Like,
I was proud of Ephraim in that fight.
That was so fast, I didn't even realize he had a knife in his hand.
And then, well, because she knocks it out of his hand and then he grabs it again.
Okay.
And then she, of course, has to do that. It was like a video game. Like, they have that moment of power-up where you have to attack him at their weak spot during power-up where she's like,
Yo, he put, the only thing that would have been cooler is if the knife was long enough to go all the way through her head and like come out the top and be like, bam! Like,
that would have been cool.
And then like twist it and break it off in there.
No, it didn't. Like, yeah. It would have like lifted her wig up.
Oh man, like the wig. I forgot about the wig. Like the wig just like tin up a little bit. Oh man,
that would have been pretty funny.
That's sad. But one thing that was cool before that was the way they showed that Eichhorst and Kelly lost the hearing. Mm-hmm. It was kind of cool where they were like just sitting around, everything's normal, and then they were like,
it's like you're listening to Pandora and suddenly it like stops and you're like normal for a second, and then you're just like, wasn't I listening to music? Who was
listening
to music?
Or like you're like listening to it and then they play an ad. This is like, it's like, oh, this is my favorite song. Oh,
damn it.
Here's an ad.
This ad. Damn. So yeah, that's. Then Zach goes all Anakin, sets off the nuke, and Ephraim's just like, wait, do you know what that is?
Like,
and Ephraim's not, like, he's drunk, but he's, like, not even trying to, like, negotiate with Zach. Like, he doesn't
give it to me.
Believe that his son would ever do it, and he's just walking towards him, like, don't do it, give it to me, and his son does it, and it's just like.
He underestimated how upset Zach was, clearly.
Well, and also how, like, just Zach doesn't understand, like, any kind of consequence or like ramifications of anything, because the whole, all right, you saw this box, this briefcase bomb, okay, and it's pretty big. I don't know, you know, I'm not a bomb maker, but it looked big enough to do bad stuff, all right, and you have the detonator, you have no idea where the bomb is.
Mm-hmm.
You could be standing on top of the bomb for all you know.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't care, you killed my mommy that's already dead, click, and then ruins humanity.
Right. Okay, so what was their relationship like prior to all of this happening? Like, did they have a troubled relationship?
Yeah.
Okay, so was just him.
His parents separated, dad's an alcoholic kind of thing. Like, Zach, I mean, I understand turning Zach against Ephraim is very easy, but, like, kid, you have a nuke.
Yeah.
Like, you have a nuke. You can yell at your dad all you want, but you have a nuke.
Yeah. Your beef with your dad isn't as big as like destroying the whole city,
or the whole state. Like, you know, I don't believe Zach is that stupid. Like, I hate that he's that stupid that he would do something like that.
They write him like he's actually a little younger than he really is.
Yeah,
like the way he's, you know, when they're trying to explain stuff to him, and he's like, "Oh, so you know, getting changed is a good thing." Like, they write him like he's six.
That's why I liked Ben Hyland more, because he looked younger. He had more an innocent thing. So if they turned an innocent looking person into this terrible thing, like, it would have been more believable. This kid, since we brought him in, he just looks like a bully. He looks like the kid that steals your lunch money and spits on you.
And they wrote him so douchey. Zach is such, oh man, I want to say so many things that I cannot say about Zach.
I want to go hire a slam poet to come in here and just rip Zach apart. Come on. Like
a whole page and just like, go.
Zach Knight here at Poetry Anonymous. Meanwhile, if you guys are enjoying the show, please hit that thumbs up. We got 40 people watching live, which is great. Thanks for tuning in. Semper Fi, Comic Guy, Adam Fink, Gimme Shelter, Austin M, Zoe03, The Karen Events, and there's more people. Anime Man 86, The Third Turd. They're just not talking, but there are people. Renji, good to see you again, Renji.
Cool.
So if you're doing that, please hit that thumbs up. We only got 10 right now, so if you're even watching this video not live, hit that thumbs up. Leave a comment. We can't see your comments in the live chat after this airs.
Yeah.
So after this broadcast is over, please leave a comment in live chat and go to iTunes and search The Strain and podcasts, and it's the first thing that comes up. So click on that. Leave us a comment, rating, and review. Mm-hmm. We did get a review. I'm not going to give them the shout-out because they gave us 1 out of 5 stars.
Oh.
Yeah.
We need to know who that is.
No, they said, I've listened to this podcast since the beginning. The guy who does the voices is super annoying now. You're not funny. Cut the crap voices. It makes the recap hard to listen to.
Well, you know what? I like the voices, darn it.
It keeps us awake.
I mean, everyone in the chat says do the voices, so sorry, boo. But yeah, if you guys want to outweigh that 1-star review, please go to iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Give us a comment, and we'll tweet back at you. Tweet at us throughout the week. Tweet at us what you think will happen in season 4 of The Strain. Of course, this is the finale season.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What would you have thought if this episode was the series finale and it didn't go with Zach launching the bomb and actually went the way it was going?
So, like,
so let's
Zach launching the bomb. and they actually got to dump the Master in the water.
Like, series finale, they dump the Master in the water. Zack still sees Kelly get killed, but Ephraim talks him off the ledge with the nuke, but then their relationship is irrevocably ruined.
I would have felt like, wow, that was a little bit too easy.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would have felt like that was too easy.
I would have liked it because that's a series finale that leaves room for speculation. I like series finales that leave room for speculation where there's not everything tied up in a bow because, yes, the Master's gone, but Ikor's is still around. The humans have sort of won-ish because the Master's voice is gone, but then you kind of have, like, I guess, aimless Dragoi to kind of clean up. So we'd always be able to kind of, like, you know, write fan fiction or either just talk about it. You know, people, you know, can speculate for years and years what, you know, what may have been with the group.
Yeah, I mean, all in all, I look at this finale and I say, I hate Zack. I hate him so much with a passion, but it was a good finale.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, like, this whole season leading up to the finale, it makes sense. It's not that the writers screwed us over like last season.
Yeah,
it's not like Sleepy Hollow, where it's just all around completely terrible. Mm-hmm. It's, man, you know, they've had a lot of good episodes this season. Zack doing this makes sense. Mm-hmm. As much as I hate it, it makes sense. Everything that happened with the characters in this episode makes sense. My only complaint is that Gus's storyline this entire season did not matter, and they killed Feraldo, Kowalski, and Angel without really anything happening with their characters.
Yeah. But we don't know where Gus is going to end up next season, though.
We don't,
but for now,
we had so much of him this season that didn't add up to anything, and we didn't even see him in this episode, so we don't even know where he's going.
Yeah, but maybe instead of us looking at it as, like, just the singular season that nothing happened with him, that he didn't matter, maybe we should think, okay, but in the big picture, maybe by the end of next season, we'll be like, oh, okay, maybe see some kind of through line, you know?
Writers, get on it, because if nothing happens next season, oh, boy.
No. Like, maybe something that happened to him that we think was nothing will actually be consequential for next season.
I mean, it's all character development, like the fact that Angel died and the fact that it was his father figure and stuff like that, and his whole mom, like, we grew the character, but we didn't necessarily grow any storyline with the character, which is my main objection to it. It would have only made more sense for Kowalski and Feraldo and them to have escaped into the sewers to get away from that bridge thing, only to have the nuke go off while they're in the sewers, and then they could meet up with the team underground. Like, that would have made sense. Like, I feel like it was just, I still feel like it was kind of a waste of the characters, especially when Kowalski and Feraldo being the last people who stayed and didn't leave.
Yeah.
Would it, like, those characters could have had so much room to grow and be badasses in season four when everyone's hiding underground.
I'm kind of glad she's gone.
Like, I feel like the writers knew someone had to die to raise those stakes, but they didn't really know who, and they really didn't know how exactly. But I will say, last thing that I think stands out from this episode is we got to see the deepness of the relationship between the Master and Ikor's. Like, that scene where he, like, revives them, you get to see that they're really, like, they're truly, like, tight. Like,
that was actually kind of touching.
Yeah, I mean, he's officially, like, revived.
That was a love story.
Yeah, it was really bro-y for a second. He was like, I can't let you die. Well, no, he didn't say that. But he kind of, you know, you got that feeling like, you know, you're the only one I can trust kind of thing.
It was interesting seeing the relationship, because it was Palmer as the Master now, and Ikorst was upset when it was Bolivar before, and he really hated Palmer, and now it was Palmer. The role reversal with Ikorst in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was an interesting scene. They are really close. It'll be interesting to see, because you gotta have that face off between Satrakian and Ikorst.
Yeah,
and I wonder what they're gonna do with Palmer's character.
Maybe now he can be, you know, transferred and his body will just die.
See, I thought that at first, but now, I mean, we can go into predictions right now, too.
Oh, yeah.
The more I think about it, though,
and now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
The more I think it makes sense for the Master to be Aldrich Palmer. And let me tell you why, because this season we got the breadcrumbs of the blood banks opening up. Mm-hmm. And Eldritch has the money to open up safe houses and things like that. So within the city of New York, You have all these blood banks, but nobody's being forced into them, right? Yeah. So Eldritch has the money and the name and the Stoneheart group to create safe houses, and all of the survivors are going to rush towards those safe houses and be flooded in and be checked for their blood type and everything and be put into the blood banks.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of where we're going, and it only makes more sense now that the master is Eldritch, that he can firsthand be pushing these things through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he did make a point about, you know, this guy, you know, can help me. And because Eldritch has so much money, he has the, you know, like the front, the public face of, you know, Stoneheart's so great. He's such a good guy. Mm-hmm. He can kind of move, you know, around in public and people trust his word because he's such, he's so well known, I guess.
Yeah. So I think that's what we'll be moving towards. Prediction, what do you think the first scene of season 4 is going to be?
The first scene, I hope, is we find out that the ancients aren't dead. Even though we kind of already know they're not dead, but I would like to see that as the first scene and maybe them talking in their own language. I mean, after we get a Satrakian, you know, monologue. But we see in their language, like, you know, he's gone too far, he's got to go. Or, you know, he's crossed the line. Or, you know, he's out of pocket. Like, and, you know, like, they're kind of like, they're going to do it themselves instead of getting their own proxies, I guess. That would be kind of cool, at least for me.
I think it's going to be, like, frantic music, people running through tunnels and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Covered
completely in black with the voiceover, right?
Voiceover recap, yeah.
Like, a bunch of Strigoi chasing them fighting them, and then finally getting to, like, a fence gate, running through there and running into the, like, a hideout and seeing, like, Ephraim and them taking their mask off, and it's, like, Dutch and Fett and, like, all the regulars hiding underground with some other survivors and stuff like that. And they have, like, a safe zone in the subway tunnels that has been blocked off enough.
Mm. And hopefully wearing some, like, really thick leather, like, mock necks or something.
No, just just going to have a t-shirt that says plot.
Right. I love it.
What do you think, Stace?
What you guys just said, you know, opening with a recap, this is where we are now, and I think we'll probably get to Zach pretty quickly after the first couple of scenes, you know, figure out, okay, where was he taken after all this? You know, is he being, like, lauded? He's being uplifted. Oh, you're the next. You're the master is very pleased with you.
Oh, yeah, that more, because he did call him his son. He's like, well done, my son. All that,
It's going to be Zach in his room with, like, black hair now, one eye covered.
Calling in my...
That's so funny.
Just listening to Linkin Park.
Life means nothing.
My mom's dead! I hate my dad!
Everything's so lame.
Stop trying to make me listen to Nickelback, I-Course!
Oh, man.
He's going to be wearing I-Course makeup. He's going to be in his makeup in the mirror putting on eyeliner.
Well, Zach now has it in his mind that being turned is a good thing.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see Zach crusading and taking down people.
Wow.
Like, leading his...
Cool.
Leading
like a full
his,
turn.
Yeah, like, leading his Strigoi crusade to turn survivors because it's a blessing.
It's better this way.
Yeah, it's better this way kind of thing. Yeah.
That I would be happy with that because at least he's not wishy-washy.
Yeah.
You know, like, just be full evil. Don't be like, mom or my dad. Or just be full evil. Full evil.
Yeah, like, let's see, like, because right now it's, I hate you, set off the nuke, and he still seems kind of ignorant of the damage he's caused.
Yeah.
I want him to completely understand, be like, okay, this is who I am now. I'm worth the Strigoi. I'm with this all the way. My dad's an asshole. He killed my mom. I'm going to kill all these humans.
Yeah.
Because I'm an idiot. And I'm hated
that makes
by
sense.
Everyone.
I like
and nobody will be my friend anymore.
Oh, man.
I hate you.
All right, that's our show, guys.
I hate you.
This season was tons of times better than season 2.
Yes.
Season 2 sucked. This season was great.
Yes.
I give it an 8 out of 10. I think it was a solid season.
Very solid. Yeah. I said 8 because besides the first two episodes, I'm satisfied with the rest of them. I mean, of course, you got Zach notwithstanding, but I was satisfied with them, man. I'm happy.
Guys, it's been so much fun being on panel with you.
I know.
All.
Thanks for joining us, Stacey, of course, this season. And then Michael randomly coming in from the live chat.
Yeah.
Where can we find you guys on Twitter in the meantime?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. At I always look at the wrong camera. Anchorman. Okay. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the Stacey Newsom, Stacey.
Yeah, you can find me at Instagram and Twitter, One Youngster, which is OneYoungsta.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, STPHENLEMIUX. I'll probably be doing Sleepy Hollow when it comes back. God, why? And then
I can roll with you. I can do that with you.
Doing South Park right now, and yeah, I had to drop Lucifer, unfortunately. I don't have time. Studio gets really busy, but we'll see what else I throw in on.
You guys can join me on Wednesday nights for the Blackish After Show.
Yeah.
Oh, and me on Thursday nights for Blind Spot, if you're into that.
And then you do a Star Wars podcast too, right?
Well, we'll be bringing back Jedi Alliance after some time, but I'll be probably in there too, so yeah.
Okay, well, in the words of Satrakian, we will see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Mark, if you'd bring down the credit slate for one moment. Fuck you, Zach.
Yeah, fuck you, Zach.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.